Testing. Okay. Got just a few seconds left before we get started. If you were not here Wednesday night, I made a slight change to the schedule, and I had down talking about time today, but I swapped that with money because I wanted the secular work class and the class on our attitude towards money to be kind of together, and so I made that slight change. I announced that Wednesday night, but so if you came this morning expecting to talk about time, you're gonna be sorely disappointed. Then again, maybe not, because all of these topics I think are important to us. As you can see, I'm still wearing this fancy cummerbund with the nice backpack on it. Supposed to go to the doctor Wednesday, get injections, so hopefully that'll help. So if I sit down on this pew right here, that's probably why, because it's hurting me, but we'll get through it. Also having trouble with allergies this morning, so bear with me and hopefully my voice won't give out. If you hear me clear my throat, it'd be a good time to make a comment. All right, this morning we're talking about our Christian attitude towards money. If you've got your Bibles, you might turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Paul here in his letter to Timothy says in verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I think the King James says, "Love of money is the root of all evil." So the scriptures have much to say regarding money and its effect upon the lives of individuals. Money can be very evil, or a very evil thing. And of course, we just mentioned what Paul wrote about it. Money can be a blessed thing when used properly in the hands of righteous individuals. The Christian should be gravely concerned with what the Word of God teaches on this subject and every subject, and see that his attitude is in harmony with the mind of God as depicted in his Word. And so, as we talk about this this morning, that should be our overriding attitude, is to be wanting to know what God's will is on any subject, but in particular this one this morning, and to have the attitude of wanting to fall in line with what God would have us to do. One of the things that I continually mention when I'm teaching classes and sometimes when I'm commenting classes is that we have to have a trust in God. We have to do His will to the best of our ability. And sometimes situations in life happen that are very difficult for us, and we have to learn to trust God and do what He would have us to do, even though we may be afraid of the outcome of that. But He will take care of us if we're faithful and do what He's asked us to do. So our first point this morning is that money is not evil in itself. When we're talking about money, our system today is different than what they had back when Paul wrote this, his letter to Timothy, when Jesus was here teaching on the earth. So when we're talking about money, what are we talking about? when everybody speak up at once. So what? I couldn't hear you. Right. It could be possessions. They did have a monetary system back then, but a lot of their way of getting things that they didn't have or didn't raise on their own would be through an exchange of some kind. So if I needed a couple of goats, I might trade a couple of sheep for them or something like that. So what we're talking about is possessions, and of course today we are largely on a monetary system. There's still some bartering that goes on and so forth. So God has given commands and requirements that involve money or its equivalent. And in 1 Timothy, this time in chapter 5 and verse 8, just a few verses earlier in the previous chapter. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This is just one example of one of the requirements that we have to use money properly and one of the proper uses for money. The fact that money is given to the Lord or for His use is evidence of the fact that money in and of itself is not evil. There's a number of verses here. We won't read all of these because most of them we're familiar with, but they were commanded to lay by store upon the first day of the week for a number of reasons. First of all, the sacrifice is good for us, and God told us to do it, so that's the primary reason. But also, that money helps to fund the work of the church, to support evangelists, and to take care of the needs of our meeting place and so forth. And so there are lots of reasons why we are told to lay by in store. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because the lesson is not one about laying by in store, but rather the use of money itself. And the point, again, that's being made here is that money in and of itself is not evil. All things belong to the Lord, even our being, 1 Corinthians 10:26. excuse me. There's a sense in which material possessions are recognized by the Lord as belonging to us. While it remained, was it not thine own? That's the example where in Acts 5 and verse 4, where Aquila and Priscilla sold some land and they held part of the price back, but they kind of gave the impression that they were giving it all. And so they're condemned for lying to the Holy Spirit and not being truthful about it. And so there's an example of how material possessions that we have are in our control, but ultimately belong to God. Those that are of a liberal persuasion in the church fail to recognize that there is the Lord's money and our money of which we are responsible for its use. So just because the Lord has blessed us with it and we have money, we still have a responsibility to use that money properly. We can probably think of a number of ways that we might use money that are not proper. There's nothing wrong with you know, investing and gaining money through that. You know, putting it in savings accounts and earning interest, all of those are biblical. Particularly the interest part is a biblical concept. But there are some ways we can misuse money. Gambling would be one example. Spending it on things that are sinful, and things of that nature. Can anyone think of a reason or a way we might use money that would be improper? Right. So we're, you know, Greg's bringing up the point that, you know, I guess you could use the term hoarding up money, or using the money to buy possessions that you're hoarding up. Use the example of Matthew chapter 19, where there's a man who has had a bunker crop, you might say, and he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns so he can store it up and take his ease. So that's one example that basically makes that point, that there are things that we can use or do that are an abuse of money. And when he's talking about there are congregations that are of liberal persuasion, he's talking about using the Lord's money. And there's a difference between what we can do as individuals and what we can do with the Lord's money. A lot of those are willing to use the Lord's money to, you know, purchase church buses or vans, or, you know, support orphanages or things of that nature. In other words, institutionalism, where they're using the Lord's money to create these institutions. And so that would be another example. So the second thing we want to look at is the Christian is to get money honestly. And we talked about this somewhat last week in our study of secular work, and that our work has to be in a job that's honest and in keeping with God's word. So this is kind of looking at the proceeds from our job and what we're doing, or how we're getting money, and it has to be done honestly. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. So, you know, if we're getting our money by means that are against the will of God, doing things that are not in accordance with His will, then that's not a good thing. We have to have the attitude of earning our money in a way that's honest and true and in keeping with God's word. We cannot engage in anything that's dishonest, deceitful, or immoral practice to obtain money. One of the things that jumps out to me in my mind in thinking about the scriptures is the number of times it talks about harlotry. Obviously, that would be a dishonest and immoral way to gain money. Of course, we talked last week about our need to work for what we have. The idea of if a man won't work, then neither shall he eat, which, of course, we talked about last week. Ephesians 4 and verse 28 says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good," and the emphasis here is on what is good, "that he may have something to give to him who has need." And so we see here we're directly commanded not to steal. Of course, stealing would be another way that we could get money that would be dishonest. But rather, we're supposed to work and earn money in something that is good. And that we need to use that money in something that is good. And one of those things that's mentioned here is being able to help those who are in need. Christians may engage in honest occupation, business enterprise. They may buy and sell and get gain. And we talked about Priscilla and Aquila. Lydia is another example. She was a seller of purple, so she made a living selling purple fabric. There are other examples in the New Testament of people that were earning money in a good and honest way. Okay, Josh is talking about jobs that have security protocols, are not allowed to discuss what they're working on and so forth. I'm not sure that you necessarily need to lie. You just tell people the truth. You can't talk about it. It's information. A lot of people in here, maybe not in the room at the moment, but anyway, there's a lot of people here at Eastside that work in jobs that have some degree of security protocol. I'm sure Scott is familiar with that. Greg's probably familiar with it too. Tracy and some others that work in jobs where there are certain things that they can't talk about to the public. That doesn't necessarily mean you lie about it. You just tell the truth, and that you can't talk about certain things. Now, there may be those who do lie about it, and of course that definitely would be wrong, but any other comments?
What about a job that involves misinformation as part of the security? Undercover police work, even in some of these security jobs we're discussing, it does involve misleading
right. I assume what you're talking about is like an undercover agent who's pretending to be a bad guy in order to get evidence against someone to put them away. I personally, I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I understand there are cases where you can only catch the bad guys that way. But I would have a difficult time doing that. But I wouldn't have a problem if there was somebody who had a different opinion about that. But and, you know, if it's a problem in your mind, then don't do it. There is, you know, some activity. I don't know if anybody else has comments about that. That's a really good question.
I'm just thinking about Ephesians 4:25. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. Mm. This next comment is a would be a long, involved discussion maybe, but and I just want to broach it. But I believe God uses wicked men to punish wicked men. Romans 13. He's government is the minister of God to thee. God's going to get it done, but the job of a Christian is to do the Lord's will, one of which things is speaking truth. So, one time I saw a movie where a guy was accused of, don't believe that guy, he lies for a living. But a job of a Christian is to tell the truth.
Right. So, Brent's making, excuse me, Brent's making the point that, you know, that, God will use evil men to punish evil men, and that you know, God is going to get His will done. It's our job as Christians to tell the truth, and so that's, you know, that's putting a scripture and some comments behind what I was saying earlier, that I, you know, I'd have a hard time doing that. In fact, I couldn't do it, but.
Well, countries, not only individuals, but countries was used in the olden times to get the job done, and that was the way of God's punishment on some of the people at the time. He didn't just take them out and give them a spanking. He let countries come in just to overrun them and do them awful, kill people.
I think of an example about that when Rahab the harlot took in the spies and then helped them to escape. She, you know, obviously she was not a righteous person in terms of what she did, but she did help the spies, and she did deceive the authorities about where they were, so helped them to escape. Any other comments? The third thing that we want to look at is the idea that we have, we are to have the attitude of seeing that we use money rightly or correctly. Again, this is similar to points we've already made, but this one is talking about the positive side of it. What are the things that we should use money for? So far, we talked a lot about the negatives, and of course, one of the things that Greg has already expressed, and that I'm in agreement with that, is that we not only have to look at the negative side of an issue, but also the positives. And so that's kind of what this third point here is about. one of those would be a liberal contribution to the Lord. You know, we already talked about the fact that we're to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. And some of the passages listed up there talk about that God loves a cheerful giver, and so forth. And I think it was in a lesson Steve had not just a couple of weeks ago, where the idea of making a commitment to something. We have purposed in our hearts to give to the Lord what we feel like we are able to give, even maybe beyond what we're able to some degree. And Sometimes at the first sign of poor economy coming up or things are going on in the world, we could use that as an excuse to kind of cut our contribution back because we're worried about what's going to go on. Again, goes back to my earlier comment about trusting God. If we've purposed an amount in our heart, then that's what we need to continue to do. All of us have got situations, financial situations that happen to us in our lives where things might get a little tight for a while. And I think we probably all experienced that to some degree in our lives. And, you know, there may be a situation where we have to, for a period of time because of financial circumstances, you know, have to trim back our contribution. But it shouldn't be the first thing that we trim. And again, that goes back to being good stewards of money. We talked about that some last week, or Wednesday. And we have to plan for those circumstances ahead of time. Not let something sneak up on us. That has to do with saving some money for that purpose. Not just hoarding up money, but saving it for... my mother-in-law uses the term saving it for a rainy day. And so we have to be good stewards, and that will help us to not get in situations where we have no choice but to cut our contribution back. The flip side of that is when things, when we get in a situation where our lives have improved, our income has gone up, we're in a good place financially, that's a good opportunity for us to increase our contribution. And so we need to think about that and do what we can to improve our contribution. And I think, by and large, the elders do a great job of vetting those that we support in evangelism. And there are many requests for support that they get that they just are not comfortable with, picking up some new support because of, you know, our current contribution. Thank you. Right. Okay. Yeah, Brent's bringing up the point that the word he was searching for a while ago was counterintelligence, and so forth. Okay, we're to pay our taxes. There are cases where, in fact, the Jews were trying to trap Jesus, and they said, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" So he asked them to bring him a coin, and he said, "Whose inscription's on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And so we are to pay our taxes. Sometimes that's difficult when we see our tax dollars being wasted and used for things that we find to be reprehensible. Abortion clinics and things of that nature, and of course, there's a lot about that on television these days with all the political ads that people are ridiculing another candidate because they supported this or they supported that with tax dollars, and so How do we deal with that? We try to find the best candidate that we can when we cast our vote, and hopefully help to get that person elected rather than somebody that's doing things that they shouldn't. Obviously, last week we talked about using money to provide for our families. That's repeated in the scriptures, and that, you know, not only that, it's just plain old common sense, which can sometimes be a superpower these days. It seems people lack common sense, but we are to provide for our families. I'm not going to read all those passages because a lot of them we're familiar with. To maintain good works. We mentioned briefly earlier that one of the things that we can do with our money is use it for good works. That means, you know, to provide for those that are in need, and by providing, I mean, you know, if they need a meal, get them a meal. If they need some groceries, if they need, a ramp built to help them get in and out of their home, we should be willing to use our money to help them to buy the materials to build that ramp or whatever, you know, the case may be. We need to be willing to do that, to use the money that God blesses us with. And one of the things, there are a number of them listed in the book, but what are some other good works that we might use our money to do? This is a good time for discussion on that. Right. We've sent money to those who are struggling in Zimbabwe with drought, and because of that drought, they're dealing with famine. We've helped those. I think it was in Texas that were hit by a hurricane, had a lot of damage to their homes, even to some of the church buildings there. And so, what about doing good to all men as we have opportunity? What do you think that might entail? We know we want, you know, we have brethren that we're familiar with and that we love and that we want to help when they have difficulty, but this says all men. Are there those out there that are not members of the church that we can help? Yeah. And we're talking about our individual use of money here, and there's a lot of things that we can do individually to help someone that is not necessarily a work of that's to be funded out of the church's treasury, but we ought to be willing to do those things. To give to him that has need, Ephesians 4:28, to visit the fatherless and widows in affliction. We can use our resources to go to that person and to visit them and to, and the term visit doesn't necessarily mean just go see them. The idea of behind the term visit there is to see to their needs. Be compassionate toward a brother in need, to have compassion on anyone that's in need. All right. Fourth thing is that the Christian is to Christian make abuse of money. Not to make abuse of money. I mistyped that or something. Is not to make abuse of money. Some of the ways that we could abuse money is by forgetting that we are merely stewards of the money. Everything that we have comes from God, and we ought to be willing to use that to help others and not have the attitude that, you know, it's my money, I'm going to do what I want to do with it. By being so gullible as to think we can take it with us. There's an old saying there, you don't see any U-Hauls behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. You use it here to help others. Sometimes that means leaving that money to your children to help them in the future, or helping anyone that's in need, because the bottom line is we're not going to be able to take it with us. We can abuse it by loving it and desiring to be rich. 1 Timothy 6 and verses 6 through 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Of course, those are the verses that immediately precede the statement that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So we need to be able to use the money that we have and not try to hoard it up.
Well, you've got the old devil. He's working on you every day. He's got a prettier car than you've got. He's got airplanes or something like that. But it's a known fact that everybody can't handle money.
Right.
You can read and pick up your newspapers, and you can read so-and-so, he's embezzled so much. I say, they stole so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The old devil, he's got you.
Right.
He's working on you, and he's trying to get you to do what he wants you to do.
Right.
And some fall in his trap, really.
Right. Yeah, Harold's making the point that the devil is always working to lead us astray and to, we have a little success in life and get used to a certain lifestyle, and next thing you know, we want to make it even better and better. He mentioned even to the point of embezzlement and things of that nature. So I skipped the point about coveting it, which can be idolatry. We make an idol out of money. We worship it. We spend all of our time trying to gain it. Talked about that a little bit last week in our talk about secular work. And working so many hours just to gain things, and then being greedy and given to selfishness. Selfishness is something I think we probably all struggle with, and we need to think about that and work on it and not be so selfish with our money that we don't do the things that we need to do. And by thinking we can use it in any way and not have to give an answer. Of course, we've already talked about some of the ways that we can abuse money and so forth. And those can lead us into sin, and we're going to have to give an answer for that. All right. So I'll finish up. We're almost done, and the classes are letting out. So the use of money will have a great bearing on where we spend our eternity. Now think about that for a second. The use of money, or our use of money, will have a great bearing on where we spend eternity. I don't know that I'd really thought about that specifically before I was preparing to teach this class, but you know, that's true. We have to be careful about what we do with our money. The majority of those in the broad way that leads to destruction are directly or indirectly because of misuse of money. And that comes in many forms.
Well, but I think what you just hit on, discovered in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Right. And after all, that's the ultimate goal, is to lay hold of eternal life. And so, and we need to handle every part of our life properly, and specifically what we're talking about today in terms of money. All right, thank you for your attention and your comments.